show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh my goodness, we have an embarrassment of riches tonight on Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. This is the Horn, headonradionetwork.com. Easily found by going to said URL and clicking the button Listen Live. Or, if you need something you can use with your smartphone portable device, there's always TuneIn Radio Pro, the Stitcher app for Android and iPhone devices. There are other sites out there like DAR.FM, and I'm told that they're making some changes at DAR where you will be able to save clips and share clips of your favorite programs. Nudge. Hint. There's streama.com. Wow. And, of course, the podcast address is to be found at whiterosesociety.org under the subdomain for this program. And if you have to, you can always go to iTunes and get the podcast there. So, right? Yeah, very good. This is a listener-supported program. We try to raise about $150 an evening. Last night, we raised $20. So that leaves us tonight facing a $280 deficit that we need to raise, hopefully, although I realize that's a mighty tall order. PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So, too, is the snail mail address. The PayPal address, email address associated with PayPal is simply Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. If you prefer to work with snail mail, do please remember, do not make things payable to Bob Kincaid. Make them to the Horn or Head On Communications, things like that, something like that, because Bob doesn't get the money. The people we pay bills to do. Right? Very good. So, I'm not kidding. We have an absolute embarrassment of riches for this Titanic Tuesday broadcast here on the 8th day of January 2013. An embarrassment of riches. Yes. So much so that I've sat here going back and forth sort of trying to figure out where to start. This is stunning. I don't think I recall seeing a Titanic Tuesday like this before. By the way, for those of you who may not know, and just a gentle reminder for those who do, Titanic Tuesday is so named based on something our good friend Jim told us about, to wit, a statement made on the on a 962nd tier right wing broadcast over in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, in which a right winger called his right wing fearless leader on the phone on the show and asked him why was it that there are fossilized seashells in the rock strata of almost level West Bycod, Virginia, to which our titanic wit, titanic mind, right-wing 962nd tier talker responded that it was because of the movement of the Titanic plates. That never gets old for me, the Titanic plates. Makes you wonder about the movement of the Titanic silver service and the Titanic shrimp forks and the Titanic tea service and the Titanic gravy boat and the Titanic ladle and the Titanic soup tureen. And no, it's just the movement of the Titanic plates. Yeah. Yeah, a treasure trove. Exactly, Sparky, in the chat room. By the way, jump over to the chat room if you've never been there before. It's a fun little group to participate in. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Just like it sounds, it's free, it's easy. Just put a name, pick out a password, and jump right in. Lottie and Sparky and Waggy are in there now. The room will fill up further during the course of the broadcast. Everybody, you know, there are those people out there who like to be fashionably late. I understand. But where do we... Well, okay. I don't remember this happening either. Going from a Moran Monday nominee to a Titanic Tuesday feature. Last night, at the beginning of the program, we talked about a nasty, seedy little right-wing, bad imitation Mexican restaurant in Columbia, South Carolina called Taco Cid. You know, every time I see CID, I think about that terrible, terrible, terrible Charlton Heston movie, El Cid. I don't know if their tacos are that terrible, but I'd be willing to guess that they are. So last night we talked about the fact that this seedy, seamy little taco joint in Columbia, South Carolina, that can't even afford cups with its own logo on it, did manage to afford T-shirts for their employees to wear that are emblazoned on the back, "How to Catch an Illegal Immigrant." And it shows an old, like, fruit crate propped up by a forked stick with a string trailing away from it and a pair of tacos under the crate. You get the idea. The idea that, being that undocumented immigrants are dim-witted animals who can be lured into captivity with a trap of less than what? Less than stunning complexity. So that's the backstory. The front, today's portion, however, is that they have apparently caught a bunch of hell. Taco Cid. People have begun staying away in droves. And they felt compelled to put out an amateur, and I do mean amateur, press release of Titanic intellect. See how we work it to get it right. Having caught a bunch of hell for their disgusting racism and revolting prejudice, their amateur press release says, "Regarding our shirts, our shirts were created as a witty and comical statement regarding illegal," all caps, "immigrants. There are no racial nor hate remarks toward any specific ethnic group." Right, because, you know, tacos. There's a huge, huge undocumented immigrant population of Irish people in this country. But did you know the T-shirt doesn't have a bowl of corned beef and cabbage underneath the box? You see how it works. But there's no racism involved. Well, goodness, no. Taco Cid and its employees are not racist. We will serve every individual with the same quality of service, respect, in a friendly and welcoming manner. Our food is fresh, prepared, and served in the same quality and quantity. Same quality and quantity are also all in caps. I guess that means that I'm supposed to scream those parts, regardless of your race, religion, or political views. Right, they're not going to give some little pissant, serve up some little pissant, forgot to put the meat in it taco to you, you know, just because you're one of them people, whichever them people we happen to be, liberal, of color. No, everybody going to get the same shitty taco. As most taxpaying... here's the fun part. If you were wondering if maybe these were just people who got caught up in the moment but made an honest mistake and maybe had a little bit of a sense of humor prompt... No, because this is where the wing nuttery comes in. As most taxpaying Americans, we do believe illegal immigrants are taxing the system we support. First off there, Cephas, I don't know that you can say most taxpaying Americans and then say we believe. We do believe illegal immigrants are taxing the system we support and live under, thereby causing us to work harder and pay more taxes in support of their illegal activities. You know, illegal eating, illegal breathing, illegal sleeping, illegal walking. Because once you've been determined to be an illegal human being, everything the human being does is illegal, right? Causing us to work harder and pay more taxes in support of their illegal activities. Which, we have to make more tacos. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, chopping that lettuce. Oh, my goodness, dicing them tomatoes. Shredding that cheese, and we got to shred all the more because of them illegal immigrants that keep taking our tacos out from under our fruit crate. Cheers. It's just too hard to get through. In support of their illegal activities, which our government has simply chosen to look the other way. See, this is one of those times it would be fun to be a TV show so that we could put this up on the screen and we could start part, because I don't think that quite grammatically works. This looks like a teabag paragraph. As most taxpaying Americans, we do believe illegal immigrants are taxing the system we support and live under, thereby, causing us to work harder and pay more in taxes in support of their illegal activities, which our government has simply chosen to look the other way. Period. I don't know if that's a run-on, a comma splice, a grammatical abortion, or just teabaggery. Is it rhetorical question time? Is it racist to disagree with those who are not supporting the American system? How many thousands of people signed the secession petition in South Carolina immediately after the re-election? Just say it. Just ask it. We are an equal opportunity employer and will hire anyone who meets our needs and is a legal citizen or immigrant. We do not hire illegal immigrants. Our employees pay taxes. Cephas? So do undocumented immigrants. And they pay taxes for stuff for which they receive no services. You know that... come on, Cephas, get out your little tri-cornered aluminum foil-plated hat and put it on. Get out your Gadsden flag. Don't tread on me! Yeah, get that and tell... What was the central beef there at the original Tea Party where the terrorists dressed up as American Indians so that maybe the Crown would go and kill them some Indians instead of killing some white folks who'd actually done it? What was the central issue there? Wait a minute, it's coming to me. I got it. Oh, yeah, no taxation without representation. Meanwhile, undocumented immigrants pay a boatload of taxes and get precisely zero representation. This is without, of course, going into the whole dynamic of 15,000 years of human habitation of these here two continents and the several islands of the various archipelagi. Archipelagon? Archipel... whatever. Nearby. Who have been migrating back and forth for pretty much that 15,000-year period. Yeah, we won't go there. That's too complicated. Is it racist to disagree with those who are not supporting the American system? No, it's racist to suggest by your T-shirts, Cephas, that undocumented immigrants are slow-witted animals who can be trapped into an old fruit box with a pair of shitty tacos. That's the racist part. Our employees pay taxes. We are open Monday through Saturday and closed Sundays in observance of a day of worship. Yeah, day of worship. That's when the taco sit. That's when the taco sit ownership counts the freaking money. If you do not agree with our views on illegal immigrants, please do not visit our establishment. If you agree with our views on American equality in citizenship and tax fairness, then show your support and come join us for lunch or dinner. We look forward to serving you. I'll bet you do. This is kind of pathetic, this little amateur homemade PR press release. You know why it's pathetic? Because they're just hoping. That maybe they can get Mike Huckabee to do a little local, come on y'all, let's all go eat a taco for Jeebus thing. Business must be bad. There's a website called Yelp, and people have been reviewing Taco Sid. Impossible to give Taco Sid a no stars rating there, so there's 9 out of 10 that are 1 star. Let's see, one comment. Racist shirts and the food sucks too. The racism's world class, says another reviewer. Awareness of tax policy, immigration law, and social justice is disappointing, along with an embarrassing level of self-awareness. Yeah, things are getting ugly for Taco Sid. And they're lashing out. The reporter who first broke this story goes by the name of Corey Hutchins. Corey Hutchins was the first person to tweet a picture of the How to Catch an Illegal Immigrant T-shirt. That's all he did. Posted a picture. So now, the taco magnates... He's the buttermilk billionaire, you know. No, the taco magnates at Taco Sid have declared that they will no longer advertise with the Columbia Free Press. What are they? Columbia Free Times. Because that there Corey Hutchins, quote, has acted in a reckless and slanderous way toward Taco Sid. Dumbasses. Actually, if it was actionable, it would not be slander, it would be libel. Just think. Slander, talk, libel, print. Slander, talk, libel, video. Slander, talk, libel, audio. No, slander is when, somebody says of you, just from one person to the other, "Well, I heard that the owner of Taco Sid likes to have sex with farm animals." That's slander. However, if so, right. But then again, remember, the truth is an absolute defense. But double down, by all means, double down, Taco Sid, because they're selling their nasty little bigoted T-shirts. Really. Charming. Michael is hard at work already this evening. He says, Taco Sid, paren vicious. Get it, Sid Vicious? They work harder, my ass. I wonder how well they source their shitty ingredients. Safe bet much of it is picked by them illegals. Yeah, but they're not paying taxes, right? An organization that spends more time worrying about somebody's politics or immigration status than they do about the quality of their food, I wouldn't get within a country mile of that place for fear that it's probably just a festive little breeding ground for E. coli, don't you think? Yeah. Another Michael writes in and says, the Yelp comments for Taco Sid are some funny. Yelp.com. I guess you can just go and search Taco Sid, C-I-D. Thanks, Michael. He says, cheers for the new year. And right back at you. So, there's that for Titanic Tuesday. Then there's a little something else. Now, don't everybody just tune away because of what I'm about to mention here. But yes, I did. Last night, I watched the mythical national championship, which rapidly became a real one, as one of my alma maters, known fondly as the Capstone, the University of Alabama, where once upon a time I walked daily through the doors in front of which George Wallace once stood. The University of Alabama just stomped the guts out of dear old Notre Dame. And I probably would have done better to watch it with the audio, the volume turned down. Because, well, ABC just had to have their premier play-by-play man doing the game. You know, Brent Musburger. Dear God, if there's ever been a moment when just shiver-inducing creepiness found its way into a so-called professional broadcast, last night was it. And what a fine time for the production computer to freeze up. Because it did. I'm wondering where our problem is. Well, shoot. This really sucks because I got a whole bunch of audio to work up here. We'll get it maybe this way. But no, you know how it goes. It doesn't matter what the sport is. At some point in time, you start showing. I mean, they did. They showed shots of the crowd, and you know, there's some people in Irish green and dressed up like little leprechauns and stuff like that. And you know, shots of the band and right. But then, that moment when you realize that Brent Musburger is apparently a really grubby, nasty, nasty old man. They brought the camera around, and they focused on the fiance girlfriend of Alabama quarterback AJ McCarron. Okay, well, you know, and you know, there's the sometimes they focus on the mom or you know, the dad, the cousin, you know, the sister, baby sister. Hey, you know. Right? Well, this time, they focused on the truly beautiful young woman who is affianced to the Alabama quarterback. And her mama sitting to the right of her, as we look at as they were showing the picture. And this was early in the first half. I mean, the game was not over. It was on its way to being a blowout, but it wasn't at the point of, you know, total boredom. And the camera lingered, I guess, just a little too long. And Brent Musburger's inner guy in a raincoat came out. Now, Beth down in Texas is telling me that apparently this was a big public relations coup for her, because her Twitter followers shot from 2,000 to 160,000 in a very short period of time. Still, I'd kind of hate to get my Twitter account blown up under circumstances like these.
Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn, I want to admit that, but she also, Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is D.D. Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down
the
road.
So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Huh? Objectify much, Brent? Oh, if you're a quarterback at Alabama, well, look at what you get. As if there was some transaction involving swapping, I don't know, sheep, cattle, goats, turkeys, chickens, ducks. In exchange for, you know, if you're a boy in Alabama, you need to be throwing the football around with your pop in the backyard. Is that what they're calling it these days? And you know, they came back to her two or three times during the course of the game so Brent could get another ogle in. Jesus. And it wasn't just the former Miss Alabama, Catherine Webb, that he was after. You got the sense that there was something really pretty, you know, special about Brent McCarron's mother. I was wondering if he was going to call her a cougar or a MILF. memo to ABC. There are a lot of us who like college football. Could you please stop ruining it for us with Brent Musburger? Because I was just, Margie and I were watching the game together. It was kind of a father-daughter thing. She loves Alabama. She'd like to go to the university there. And it's a decent little university. And I was kind of glad that she was out of the room when that came up, because, I mean, just creepy, nasty. Is there anybody in America that likes that guy? Just, ooh. I mean, God almighty.
Good Auburn, I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay?
That's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? Right, yeah. Hmm. You want to buy a watch?
Right there on the right is D.D. Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women.
Get all the good-looking women, and me, I got to go out after the game and get liquored up and go trolling for hookers. I don't understand for-profit broadcasting. I really don't. This guy gets a couple of million bucks a year or something, right? To do, you know, that. To make all creepy over a woman a third his age. Oh, that's ageism, Bob. No, that's creepyism. Yeah, him girls. Sweet Jesus. And then, of course, there's something out there that you are probably already familiar with. Namely, and we're going to run the audio. Sorry. We just are. I've made mention on this program from time to time of the huckster, grifter, flim-flam artist, Alex Jones. A man who, among all the other crap that he advertises, probably should have an endorsement deal with, like, Gillette razor blades, because once you hear his voice, you realize that he probably gargles with them every day. That's the ad hominem part of this attack. I mean, you talk about a voice made for print. He's the goober who started the Deport Piers Morgan petition. And frankly, yeah, I don't know. He's certainly no Larry King, for which much of the world is largely grateful. But... And this thing has, and I know what's going on here. I'm feeding into a little PR machine, but for a different reason. Oh dear, I've gotten on the wrong side of Clayton. Sorry, Clayton. He says that's sex workers. Talking about Musburger. I said hookers. Okay, Bob, leave my little sex workers alone. He didn't say one word about sex workers. Or sheep. Oh, Jesus. Michael noting, speaking of E. coli, a Musburger sounds like something you'd catch it from. Doesn't it? No, there's a larger point to this. And I offer you Alex Jones, because Alex Jones has offered himself up as the spokesman for all Biden gun owners. Right? Law-abiding gun owners. And if in fact he's the guy who's going to speak up for law-abiding gun owners, I feel kind of sorry, almost, for those self-same law-abiding gun owners. Because this guy is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Yeah, a nut. But don't trust me. Don't believe me. Take it from Alex Jones himself. Right? Yeah. There we go. You're going to love this. I hate Google Chrome. Here, let's put it this way. Okay. Now, so anyway, this was all a set up puff piece PR thing. It works out to the benefit of both Piers Morgan and Alex Jones, because if Alex Jones had come on and recited Jabberwocky while standing on his head playing with himself, the people who listened to Alex Jones would say, "You tell him, Alex! This is precious." Right? Just lovely.
Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America. It's not escaped the notice of supporters of gun rights, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, I quote, "Deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment." Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Piers, thanks for having me.
Why do you want
to... See, this is supposed to show that Piers Morgan is fearless and not afraid to face his critics. Okay, so you've got that part of the setup. And then razor blade voice going, "Piers, thanks for having me." That's about as civil as it's going to get. I'm warning you.
Deport me.
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of these foreigners and the Russians.
Jesus, and I thought I hated Michael Savage's voice. Yeah. I didn't know that Selma Diamond ever left a baby on a basket somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, well, you know, we're gonna try to bring attention to that a bit.
And this is just kind of a question for the Horn family. Would you guys tune in every night to listen to
crazy man?
Would you? Because I'd rather have unanesthetized dental work. I keep talking because I thought I was going to play this, and then I keep thinking, no, I don't want to hear this again. But you know what? All we got in common is our misery, Joe Kinahan used to say. And the least we can do is share it. Right?
Chinese government, Mao said political power.
Have I mentioned that I hate Google Chrome?
He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Piers, thanks for having me.
Why do you want to deport me?
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of...
Notice this is question number one. Why did you want to deport me? And Alex Jones can't even answer that. Instead, of course, deflecting off it, right.
These foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government, Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism and the mega banks brag that they've taken over in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns but the Swiss and the American people. And when they...
You got that? Nobody has a gun in the whole world except the Swiss and the American people. Really? There are no firearms in Austria. There are no hunters in Austria. There are no firearms in Germany or hunters in Germany. There are no lockers with firearms in them at gun ranges in the United Kingdom. There are no tweed-jacketed, jodhpur-wearing, high-boot-steppin' hunters in the of birds with fine English-made shotguns in the Scottish Highlands? They're all gone. There's no guns in Brazil. No guns in Peru. No guns in China. I didn't mention it. No guns. No guns. Pay attention here, north of the border types. No guns in Canada. None. Not a one. Because Chairman Mao took them all away.
You know, and the globalizers.
Where? How many packs of unfiltered Paul Malls do you smoke a day, Alex Jones, to get that voice?
That a carton.
Chairman Mao done got all the guns except for America and the Swiss.
Get our guns, they have their world tyranny, while the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota.
Really? A predator drone zoomed down out of the air and landed and was used to arrest a guy in North Dakota. For those of you who are aficionados of old Warner Brothers cartoons, you might remember that scene where Bugs Bunny holds up two placards. One shows a screw, and the next one holds a ball. I don't know what got out of the Predator drone to affect the arrest.
Oh, they're arresting people with Predator drones down and up in North Dakota.
The Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India.
Please. Oh. Tyrannical government and street thugs. Let's see. What's the Second Amendment say? A well-regulated militia being necessary to a free state, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. Isn't that pretty much it? I may not have it. Yeah, maybe I'm off on my memorization by a preposition or two, or maybe it, right. But that's pretty much it. Did you hear the part in there about street thugs? And by the way, you do know what he means when he says street thugs, don't you? Yeah, because, see, if there was a massive movement in the United States in communities of color to gun up, Alex Jones would be screaming that they were agents of globalism and they were being given guns by the Obama administration in order to round up all the patriotic Americans, read white people, and send them to FEMA re-education camps. Because he's big on the FEMA re-education camps, too. Oh, Jesus. Really? Really, Sandra? Alex Jones says Mayor Bloomberg is sending crackheads to kill him for speaking truth to mafia. Okay. You know, but let me see here. Yeah, we're a minute and 23 seconds into this. What is this? This is from Gawker by Neaton Zimmerman. You have to admire Alex Jones, if not for his tinfoil political views, then at least for the breakneck speed with which he can spin a web of conspiracy so thick with heavy-breathed paranoia. Heavy breath.
I don't know if you can call this heavy breath.
It makes Robert Ludlum look like a historian. Just 1 hour after filming his instantly infamous interview with CNN's Piers Morgan, which we are presently enjoying, Jones was on his YouTube channel claiming the panicked producers pulled the plug early and kicked him out with tears in their eyes, and he was now scared for his life because Mayor Bloomberg had sent undercover cops dressed as crackheads to kill... this isn't The Onion. To kill him and his crew.
The way this'll work is, oh, see here, they were protesting gun grabs and some crack dealers shot them. If something happens to us, we're killed by crackheads. Was the NYPD or the mafia hired?
Wow. I mean, I don't have my certificate suitable for framing from the Bloomberg fan club or anything, but I had no idea that he had his own personal mafia army of undercover crackheads. I mean, come on, Alex, crackheads, that's so 90s. They're meth tweakers now, buddy. Get with the zeitgeist. Jesus God. But you'll want to know why it is that Bloomberg wants to come after him, right?
Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't...
Giant petitions, not little online petitions, not little, not pieces of regular 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper that are circulated. They are giant petitions, giant, I tell you, giant petitions.
Kept them. The answer is... Hey, wait a minute. I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20%+ crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago. Tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall muggings, stabbings, deaths. Those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods...
No, when iron rods are outlawed, only outlaws will have iron rods.
Didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter.
I thought you might appreciate a moment of silence or so after that. You just want to catch him in the neck with a Thorazine dart, don't you? Hey, Alex, look, a squirrel. I feel better already. This is a scene out of Dr. Strangelove.
I'll tell you what. All right, I'll go ahead and shoot the lock off that Coke machine, but you know what? If you're not telling the truth, you're going to have to deal with the Coca-Cola Corporation. Mandrake, in the name of the Queen and the Continental Congress, get over here and feed me.
I'd like to offer some sort of cogent analytical observation about this. But it's really not there. I mean, you could make the point that when he starts... See, okay. Maybe there is a cogent observation to be made. Because I've been known to raise my voice on this program as well. But that's the difference between radio and video. What plays, and it's kind of like the difference between, say, silent movies and talkies. Think Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard. You know, back then we didn't need to talk. We had faces. You know, and just nutty as a Christmas fruitcake. I'm ready for my close-up, Max. It's the same thing. What Alex Jones is doing would work in a pulpit. And it might work on a radio setting. But it doesn't work here. He's trying to paint Piers Morgan as some sort of effete snob, which he may be, by getting all manly and screaming at him with all of his excess of Texas testosterone, right? Yeah.
No matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken, we will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
The Republic will rise again. This is a guy who runs a website called Prison Planet. And if the Republic's going to rise again, that sort of presumes that the Republic is gone. And I guess, with InfoWars and the Illuminati and... Right. But whenever I hear the Republic will rise again, the Republic will be restored, you know me, I'm a nerd. I start thinking in terms of other people who have squalled about the return of the Republic. Cato the Younger comes to mind. The CD Cheapskate, who did the busy work of the moneyed class in the late Roman Republic, when the Republic of which he spoke was merely an autocracy or an oligarchy of, you know, the rich over the poor. But it was couched in, you know, freedom, right? The Republic. Please.
Family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna. My family was at the core on both sides starting that.
Wait, what? I gotta get this again.
Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic...
Oh, dude, the establishment, because Alex Jones is like a hippie. It's like the establishment.
Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna. My family was at the core on both sides starting that.
What the... Does that mean my family was at the core on both sides starting that? Does that mean that he had some, that part of his family was second in command to Santa Anna? And that another part was Davy Crockett? Shall we go over a little bit of the history that apparently Mr. Jones has missed? Because to hear him tell it, the so-called Texas Revolution against Santa Anna was about freedom, Wolverines! When in fact it was about Texas slaveholders fighting for their right to continue owning other human beings, when the same had been, in fact, outlawed by a country whose official name was the United States of Mexico, and who sought to eliminate chattel slavery in one of its own territories. Now, that's not some politicized version of history. That is the history. Chattel slavery was abolished in Mexico. But you had a bunch of slave holders in the area across the Rio Grande who wanted to keep on owning black people so they could profit from them. That's the origin of the so-called Texas Revolution that Alex Jones's family was at the core of on both sides. Maybe he means the Jones side and his mama side, the Murgatroyds. I don't know. But it's kind of hard to know much from this because the guy is such a Lulu. Sandra, is Alex Jones a problem that full employment will cure? Oh, I don't know. I think, well, you'll find out what it is he's really worried about in a minute. And it ain't guns. Because, see, Alex has a problem that actually could be solved. He doesn't have to have all of those voices going in his head all the time. But he likes the voices. They keep him from feeling, you know, lonely.
Because Santa Ana came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce?
No. Santa Ana came to enforce a law banning slavery.
Not to take the guns.
Don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you...
Wait, what? Stop it. Santa Ana came to take the guns at Galipavo, Texas. Don't try what your ancestors tried before. Has he just accused Piers Morgan of being a secret Mexican? And again, this is not a defense of Piers Morgan. I'm not the guy to look to for defense of the for-profit media. But, and really, Alex Jones, well, Alex Jones is just an avatar for all of the sort of ebbing and flowing lunacy that goes back and forth across the backwaters of this country.
Don't you try to take our guns, you Mexican.
Maybe you should have come on the... Maybe Alex would have done better to have come on the program with one of those Taco Sid t-shirts on. Maybe things would have gotten a little bit simpler.
Come to America. I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one... Oh, that...
What? You go through back... I mean, just... A psychoanalyst could put a family the size of the Duggars through dental school on this guy alone. Oh, horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, where are you when we need you? Did you catch the disjointedness of that?
Hey, you have to have background checks to buy a gun. What about Prozac? Oh, you have to have a background check to buy a gun. What about biscuit mix? What about sewing machine oil? Globalization? Illuminati?
That's a big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, whoa, got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist or psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate.
Yeah.
Answer me this question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of the same old script here, bud.
It's fine, bud.
Bud. Same old what? It's a script that only runs inside the tiny, tormented mind of Alex Jones.
How many gun murders were there in America last year? Do you know?
There were about 11,458, and about 74% of those were gang-related, gangbangers shooting each other. You get 3.5
gangbangers, more code. You've got your code receptor sets on, right? Gangbangers. Because it wouldn't work for him to say, you know, that was Negro on Negro violent. How's your Negro on Negro violence? I had to find the voice there. It gets lost. Right.
How many people died from infections in hospitals? 197,000.
Let me just ask you a second.
That's right.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
How many
kill people every year, but they're scared to swim?
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those statistics.
How many, you know?
That was only a few hundred.
No. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull
the statistics. You mean the gun murders that were perpetrated by the great white sharks in England?
Wait a minute. I don't know. Should we have background music going for this? Let's see here. Yeah, wait. Okay, you get the... Yeah, that was a cute little experiment. But this is too good to let just go by with the soundtrack running over top of it. We're going to get to the hordes of people now. Now, understand, and we've got a handful of listeners in the UK, most of whom, if I understand the emails I get, are not sitting around aching for a firearm. This goes on for 3 hours a day, every day. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you just be pretty much... Yeah. Clayton writes in, Bob. And Clayton, being the militant sociologist, probably knows. Clayton writes in, Bob, this guy's a serious tweaker. I'm willing to believe that. Kevin, noting from Colorado Springs, Bob, after listening to all this, I'm convinced that if anyone needs a re-education camp, it's him. Re-education camp in a large padded room. Kevin, don't forget the purple crayon between his toes that he can write his memoirs on the walls with. He said, hey, with which he can write his memoirs on the walls. There are some things up with which I will not put.
He did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murder.
Oh, wait.
Last
UK
year.
Violent crime, capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me
it's
give you a
simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're very loud,
that's the
old,
no, that's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
The oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid. Okay, that... The Perry Mason reference may be lost on a lot of the younger generation. I mean, my God, the show was old and off the air when I was a little boy and watched it every day because my dad thought that Della Street was really cute. Drove my mother nuts. Perry Mason... But Perry Mason asks for those little factoids because those little factoids sooner or later add up to proving who really did it. But you know what? I'll
bet you Alex Jones watches Perry Mason and he knows that it was really the Illuminati. It wasn't the person who was proven guilty.
I mean, wasn't it Columbo that was really more about the little factoids?
Just one more question there, ma'am. Yeah, I don't want to be a bother or anything, but I just got one more question.
Oh, Peter Falk, we miss you. Yeah, this would at least be cuter if it was Sarah Palin accusing peers of trying to catch her with one of his main lamestream media gotcha questions. Well, I think we've crossed a bridge here, haven't we? We're pining for Sarah Palin. Mother. Brandon just wrote in from Brooklyn. Bob, I know it's only January, but Alex Jones has flat out won in two categories. Soundbite of the year, Moran of the year. Can anybody top him? Don't say that kind of stuff into the ear of the universe, Brandon. Please, we've been friends too long. I don't know if I... Can anybody... This is just... No, we're 4 minutes into this clip. There is lots and lots of crazy left.
There's only little facts.
I already said earlier, we're talking about England a has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
But you've got
hordes of people...
See, that one just flew right by him.
I just said that England has a lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Doesn't that mean that lowered the gun crime rate? Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. I mean, I don't want to say that Alex Jones's IQ is lower than the temperature here in the studio right now. But Alex Jones's IQ is lower than the temperature in the studio right now. It was 64. Toasty.
Tequila.
People burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
What a ridiculous...
They arrest people in England if they defend themselves. That's on record. My God, you've got a total police state. Everybody's fleeing that country because you've had to flee here, bud.
Bud. Bud? Yes, father. Bud. Have you been tweaking on the meth again, bud? Oh, you got me, father. Did you catch that, UK listeners? You're the only ones left. Don't look out the window. There's nobody there. It's like some sort of Twilight Zone episode where everyone has fled the United Kingdom, and the only people that are left that are, well, they're pod people. They're not real, honest to God, British subjects. Even Piers Morgan had to flee from those knife-wielding, cricket bat-swinging... Yeah.
I mean, my God, I mean, up in Scotland, it's disgusting. Have you seen how many little old ladies have been murdered with those big rocks they use in that sport of curling? Curly. And then they'll be trying to ban those because they hate freedom.
Why don't you tell folks, you fled here. Why don't you go back and face the charges for the hacking scandal?
Answer this question. How many...
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order. Okay.
See, I was with him while he was giving Piers Morgan hell for till he got to that hatchet man for the New World Order thingy. Illuminati! The problem with conspiracy theorists like Alex Jones, apart from the fact that he's a shameless hustler and a grifter, lies in the fact that there are real problems in this world. And however many thousands of people he gets to focus on his little bit of prestidigitation are that many less people who are going to be focused on reality and problem solution. You know, climate change, things like that. Again, of course, climate change was brought to you by the Illuminati or, I don't know, the Rosicrucians or those people who party amongst the redwoods out in California. No, not hippies. News Ninja Gene just wrote as a, I'm Canadian now, thanks, Alex. News Ninja Gene, now from Nova Scotia. It must have been a hell of a quick ride, Gene. Darlene, apparently, Alex Jones must not be getting enough attention. No, Darlene, I think he didn't get enough attention and God knows what else. Maybe dropped on his head as a child. Pick one. Headline from over at Raw Story, courtesy of Darlene. From the You Can't Make This Stuff Up department. Alex Jones in airport showdown with TSA for refusing to remove his shoes.
The founders of the Republic didn't have to remove their shoes to get on board that boat to throw that tea over into the harbor. Don't you make me take my shoes off, because the Republic, the Republic will get you. Wolverines.
The conspiracy theory peddling website InfoWars reported on Monday, that would be yesterday, that its founder, Alex Jones, was threatening to sue the federal government after Transportation and Security Administration agents at the Austin Bergstrom Airport detained him for refusing to remove his shoes. InfoWars posted several photos of a defiant Jones with his finger in the chest of a police officer while standing in what appeared to be a metal detector. The report indicated that police had been called to the scene by TSA agents after Jones refused to remove his shoes on the grounds that several other passengers had gone through the checkpoint without removing their shoes. Despite Jones's protest that he was clearly being discriminated against because he was a known critic of the TSA, come on, Alex. Nobody knows who you are, buddy. Really, the TSA doesn't... No, you're not on the watch list, buddy. The rest of the TSA screeners also knew him by name. They claimed, the officer growled, take your damn shoes off or I'm going to arrest you. According to, you know, InfoWars. The radio host argued that he had not wanted to take off his shoes because he had caught athlete's foot from that very process in another airport. Although he did eventually agree to, this is the fun part, mind you, although he did eventually agree to be searched, he claimed that TSA screeners manually set off the metal detector,
possibly by order of the officer, so they could harass Jones further.
This was when he was flying from Austin to New York to be interviewed by Piers Morgan. I mean, I laugh, and I probably shouldn't laugh. This is... arguably no laughing matter. You know, Robert points out from Australia, just got a copy of the 80s film version of Gandhi's Life. Haven't watched it yet. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's not entirely factual, but what movie is? As we all know, Gandhi convinced the British Empire to leave India without using force, let alone a gun. He took on not just a government, but an empire. And he won. Then he was shot dead. P.S. Did you know the Australian military could fight an invasion force for about 3 to 6 weeks, after which we'd be out of bullets?
Well, Robert, that's the way the New World Order, globalization, Illuminati want it to be. See, you could hold them off for at least another day and a half if only y'all were free, that you were free down there, like my family was when they were on both sides of the Mexican Revolution there, fighting for white, well, you know. A little more.
A hatchet man. And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear...
Wait.
Just for the hacking scandal.
Wait, no. We kind of jumped in medias res on this. I want to be quiet and let you hear. You know, there are antecedents to this kind of behavior. They say that Ernest Hemingway, for however well he wrote, Ernest Hemingway, they say, was a total ass and was forever getting drunk. I'll fight you, you little sissy. It may have had something to do with the fact that he was dressed up as the twin of his elder sister, Marceline, for the first 5 or 6 years of his life, and they both wore dresses. I mean, that was his mother's doing. Oh, Mother Bates had nothing on Mother Hemingway. But he's really going to do this. He's going to challenge Piers Morgan
to an American boxing match, and I'll wear those red, white, and blue American flag Apollo Creed shorts. Right, yeah, you did right.
So this question: how many?
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order. Okay. You're a hatchet man, and I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing.
At what point in time did Piers Morgan say he was a tough guy? Because, I mean, I know I've been rambling a bit going back and with it, but I didn't hear Piers Morgan say, I am a tough guy. In fact, it would sound kind of silly, wouldn't it? I mean, Piers might stab you to death with the shrimp fork, but beyond that, not much.
Right in the throat.
Ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Okay.
Your Jolly Roger. Shh. Let's not tell Alex Jones what the colors are inside the Union Jack. Shh. Or, you know, the French flag. Or the Dutch flag. How are we going to tell you, Alex? How are we going to tell you whether you're an American and one of the Jolly Roger people or maybe Dutch or, oh dear God, not French?
No, that's not red, white, and blue. That's bleu, blanc, et rouge. Wait a minute. Piers can dress in red like his buddy Chairman Mao.
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin?
I don't know, but one can apparently sit on the set with Piers Morgan.
I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
Said hundreds.
It's very
Wait, stop it. He said he already gave the answer, and then he said he didn't know the answer. Pick one. Come on, Alex. I mean, you're letting down the team, buddy. You're doing worse than Notre Dame did last night.
Oh. You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is, you can...
Against 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
and 35? Yeah, England wants to ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
Right. But do you understand
the knives?
Difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen,
do you understand between 35
you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script, okay? You're not going to get our guns. By the way, you guys always say, we just want to take the semi-autos, okay, and all this other stuff on semi-autos.
Okay, here comes the big what guns really are lecture. Get the popcorn. This is precious. Because we've had that discussion. Somewhat reasonably.
those aren't even rifles aren't even used, but in a fraction of the crimes, you can pull those numbers up. Okay.
You mean the numbers that you won't that right? Those numbers.
No, hold on.
Let me ask you one question. Which weapon was predominantly used in the Aurora movie theater shooting?
M4 AR-15 variant.
So it was a semi-automatic.
Yes,
all right.
Again. Okay. But statistically, it's very, very low.
That was
it. Yeah, statistically, it's very, very low. And statistically, very few five-year-olds are kept from becoming six-year-olds as a result of M4 AR-15 variants. But when it comes to keeping five-year-olds from becoming six-year-olds, M4 AR-15 variant makes it sound like he's talking about a damn bean seed is terribly, brutally, horribly effective.
Do you agree it was the single biggest shooting in the history of America in terms of people hit by a shooter? Do you know that?
No, I believe that there were others.
No, do you know that? No, I believe. See how the language works? Very flexible English is. Yes.
What about over 30?
No, this was the single biggest mass shooting.
Well, listen, there have been bombings of Wall Street.
Let me ask you a second.
There have been bombings of Wall Street. I can't wait to hear this question.
Listen, why can't the pilots have firearms? We trust them to fly the planes.
You've had a lot to say.
No, my point is the Second Amendment is sacrosanct.
Did you get that? Why can't the pilots have firearms? We trust them to fly the planes. Well, Alex, because there are assholes like you who won't even take your freaking shoes off. And granted, it's silly that we're in an age where we have to take our shoes off to get on an airplane. But it's even stupider that we live in a world where people like to blow airplanes up. Priorities, please, focus. I have to fly places from time to time. And, I mean, I put flying... I'm old enough that I remember when flying was actually kind of fun, kind of adventuresome, pleasant, even... But now I have it on a continuum that goes flying, colonoscopy, dental work, you know, in descending order. So I acknowledge all of that. But I also acknowledge the realities of plane flying. Pardon me, I'm going to stop flying the plane so that I can walk back into the cabin and unleash a hail of gunfire to take out a suspected terrorist in the midst of a bunch of innocent people. Skip, try to keep it from going into a total nosedive while I'm doing that, would you?
Do you know which weapon was used in the Oregon shopping mall mass shooting recently?
I understand that people who are mentally ill on all the...
Objection, Your Honor. The witness is being non-responsive. Would the court please instruct the witness to answer the question as put to him? The question started, do you know? And this nabob, this... numbnuts answers, I understand, and proceeds to explain to us that, no, really, when it comes right down to it, he understands nothing. Would that be une comprend pas? Sie verstehen nicht. Ihe osne atne. Yeah.
press them to fly the planes.
You've had a lot to say.
No, my point is the Second Amendment is sacrosanct, and you're not getting it.
Do you know which weapon was used in the Oregon shopping mall mass shooting recently?
I understand that people who are mentally ill on all the serotonin reuptake inhibitors who play these shoot-em-up games want to go...
See, and there are lawyers in our little family here. Lawyers, tell me, how would this guy, because that's the way this thing is playing out. And notice the paranoia that comes out with the Perry Mason reference. Alex Jones views this as some sort of testimony. And he doesn't realize that he's coming across as the William Jennings Bryan character howling away in Inherit the Wind. Horn lawyers, please. Tell me, what would a jury think of Alex Jones? You know, the little old lady sitting in the jury box with her knitting. Think 12 angry people. Would they just write him off completely? Yes! I'm guessing. Because that's kind of what we are. We're jurors viewing, listening to, a raving lunatic. We haven't had this kind of table pounding since, and I'm guessing Jim would probably agree with me on this, since Nuremberg. And no, I'm not busting out all Godwin's law. I'm talking about the way deranged witnesses behave. If Piers Morgan really were a lawyer trying to get answers out of Alex Jones would have been in contempt about 5 minutes ago. At least within the universe of the clip, not 5 minutes ago on the program.
Well, I knew this. Alex. Because there's criminals, I don't lose my rights, Piers.
Alex.
Because there's criminals,
Alex.
I don't lose my rights.
Just answer the question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the weapon used was?
Listen, let me ask you a question.
No, answer.
I've got the FBI
Alex.
Statistics that... Listen.
No.
Okay, see, you're getting too close to me, so I'm going to answer your question with a question. This is not Fiddler on the Roof. I wish it was half as entertaining. This is not Fiddler on the Roof. This is Paranoia on Parade. In a way, this is sad.
That the so-called semi-autos that you talk about...
Let's take a break. Let me come back.
Ian, you're not going to...
Yeah, because, well, I mean, Piers has to sell some shit. It's for-profit media. I mean, we've got that part, right? I know you desperately want this to be over. I want this to be over. It isn't. Yeah, this is all over at Media Hype, by the way.
Alex Jones, a man says I should be deported for my stand on guns. So, Alex, here's how this is going to work, and it's entirely down to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. In the spirit of a proper debate, and you've had a lot to say so far on the show, a lot of it...
I do object to Pierce suggesting there's any debating going on. There's no debate. Please, come on. If there was any journalistic integrity to this, after the break, Mr. Jones really would have been hustled off into the night, and I don't know... Cut to some CNN correspondent with some news. Because this is just embarrassing. I'd like to say that I'm embarrassed for my country. But my country is also comprised of normal people. Ordinary people. Sane people. People who don't constantly hear black helicopters circling above, filled with blue-helmeted UN thugs. And I guess it's us ordinary folks that I'm embarrassed for. Because this thing's gone all around the globe. I mean, it's viral. And there are people sitting in God knows where saying, oh, yeah, that's how the Americans are. No, please, it's not. But the fun part is how, because it is kind of an unfair tactic, I'll admit. It's kind of like kicking Alex while he's crazy, what Piers Morgan does. But it works. It works.
It's just fine. But I want you to try and answer the questions. It's a proper debate, okay? I'm not trying to trip you up.
No, it's not a debate. You're running the show. You bring in your victims up front.
Actually, no.
Look, you got your little note cards.
Yeah. Okay.
I just gave you FBI statistics that violent crime and gun crime is down over 20%.
Alex, let me just ask you.
And you want to go to little factoids.
No, they're not little
factoids.
Anybody
can pull those up. Listen.
Do you know what...
You want to go to little factoids? No, they're not little factoids. Yes, they are. No, they're not. That's not argument. That's not debate. That's just gainsaying.
I have a bodyguard.
Alex.
Why do you have bodyguards?
I don't have a bodyguard.
Yeah, I've seen you on the news with them.
Don't
you
want
to... Why you have... Did you get that? This is a Saturday Night Live skit. Why do you have bodyguards? I don't have a bodyguard. I've seen you with them on TV. I don't know. Maybe he does. I wouldn't blame Piers Morgan for having a bodyguard. There are people out there, even in New York City, who listen to Alex Jones. And those are the people you gotta be worried about, because they got lots of guns.
And they're not afraid to use them against some freedom-hating, lily-livered, the Jolly Roger flying Englishman.
Because again, I'll note that there are lots of people out there who have been exposed, and they're going,
yeah, by God, he's right. Marveline, you got this is some patriotism. Get in here, Marveline!
Protect your wife from hoodlums, or you want to call the police?
Let me ask you this question.
Why does Dianne Feinstein tell 60
Alex.
Minutes that she plans to try
Alex.
To take Mr. and Mrs. America's guns?
Stop
you seen that
she plans to take, try to take Mr. and Mrs. America's guns. Are they? Is Mr. America wearing red, white, and blue boxing trunks too, Alex? What are the little voices inside your head saying, brother? Mr. and Mrs. America. Worried about the New World Order. Liquor. Pot. Anything. Alex, you know, it helps.
You guys want to disarm all of America.
No, I don't.
Dianne Feinstein's bill does.
I don't.
Gun confiscation.
No, let me clarify for you. You don't seem to understand.
First you register, then you confiscate.
No.
Always done the same.
Here's what the...
Always. That's
the,
first you register, then you confiscate. Because, you know, we've got so many instances in American history in which first they've registered the guns and then they've confiscated them. Not ever. I saw a Facebook graphic the other day that said if women... Oh, what is it? Let me see if I can find it here. Hang on. I got it right here in front of me. Yeah, there it is. If women took up arms to defend their reproductive rights, the GOP would immediately demand gun control. It's true. It's true. Anyway.
You cards and I'll answer your questions for
what
you.
What was the weapon used at Sandy Hook?
I've already gone over that and already answered it for
we
you.
We haven't talked about
no,
Sandy
didn't.
Hook.
No, again.
What was the weapon?
It's a 223 M4.
Right.
Again, but statistically, they're using...
With dual mud flaps and Holley, and a Holley four-barrel carburetor, a 223 M4. Breaker.
Very low percentage of shootings,
but
period.
Are you seeing
wouldn't go swimming because the movie Jaws, the biggest, even though great white sharks kill five people a year.
We're back to the sharks. Pretty soon the chimpanzee is going to be dancing on the chair again. And then I'm going to have to put my foot in the bucket and sing.
You're trying to scare people.
Let me say something.
There's no metal shark in the water.
The same type of weapon was...
Huh? Okay, I give up. Maybe I'm the one that needs the Thorazine dart in the net. There's no metal shark in the water? This is the guy who's worried about pharmaceutical psychotropics? Edith?
Used in the last three mass shootings.
And that's right. And Hitler used semi-autos to kill people.
Why would you...
And like dogs.
And so did Mao.
Why would you...
Why is the government arming to the teeth against us?
Alex, I don't...
What about fast...
Why is the government arming to the teeth against us? There's no more anti-war guy on the planet than me. Why is the government... Okay, see, that's how paranoia works. Asking the question, why is the government arming to the teeth, is a valid question. And it has an equally valid answer. Because warmongering and death is very good business. That's why there are these things out there called defense contractors. And they make something like, they make up what we pay them and what we pay for our military equates to something around half of our annual budget. That's why we're arming to the teeth. And frankly, to be quite honest, the military is not the size that it once was. Remember how the Bishop Willard Romney wanted a few more cavalry units? And maybe some nice Latin-rigged corsairs to patrol the coastlines? F me.
And furious.
Alex,
why do our government ship guns into Mexico?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
Let's have a debate.
A false flag?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
I get accused.
Why they blow up building standing down the street here?
Oh, here we go. Strap in. This is the fun part. Did you catch that last part? After the Fast and Furious business? After blaming Mexico on the Second Amendment? Here it comes.
Mexico, Alex. To blame the Second Amendment?
Let's have a debate.
A false flag?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
I get accused.
Why they blow up buildings standing down the street here
Alex.
In New York?
Why did they, Alex? Oh, for God's sakes, please tell me. I'm dying to know.
I get accused when I get you guys on of talking over you, of being rude. I'm trying to be civil.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to try and answer some of the questions, right? Here's my issue for you. Why do people need, civilians, need an AR-15 type assault rifle?
Why does God need a starship? And I just realized something. I think Alex Jones is what you get when either Beavis or Butthead grows up.
Said statistically they're used in a very low amount of the crimes. That's an FBI fact.
They've been used in the last three mass shootings.
Yes.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because they advertise it in the media. Anybody knows that if somebody jumps off the Empire State Building, they put cops up there the next day because copycats come to do it again.
Okay. So we have mass shootings because the media advertise it. You know, I gotta halfway agree with him. After all, the newspaper there in Newtown, Connecticut, had a Sandy Hook massacre story with a gun show ad next to it. I mean, Lord knows if I've got the pipe and the slippers and I'm flipping and I go to page A16 or whatever and I see that ad because you know Sandy Hook kind of fell off the front page and everything. But I see that ad, or I see that story about the latest the ongoing horror from the massacre, and I look over on page A17, and lo and behold, there's an ad for a gun show. I'm thinking, you know what? They had me at massacre. I'm going to go get one.
Media hypes and hypes and hypes.
And that's all the
don't just commit suicide.
Why do people
He'll commit suicide by killing a bunch of kids, and here's the gun to use, because it's the one the U.S. Army uses.
Why do people need...
The media. The media. It's rather a broad category, I suppose. But advertising... Advertisements are media. And he's absolutely correct. The manufacturer of the firearm that was used at Sandy Hook had an online ad that said that when you go and buy one for yourself, men, that your man card has been re-upped. Your man card. Huh? Score one for Alex Jones.
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Government, the 20th century university study out of Hawaii killed 292 million people. It's called democide. Google it, folks.
Do you believe everyone in America...
Okay, here comes the pitch for his website.
Should everyone in America, therefore, have an AR-15 if they want one?
Statistically, where there's more guns, there's lower crime. The highest crime is in Bloomberg.
But you have the most...
See, he said Bloomberg. He may say it three more times, and that's what makes the... crackhead mafia show up. Bloomberg, Bloomberg, Bloomberg. They'll be through the 20 minute now.
Well, there are any of the 23 richest countries in the world, and you have 20.
Well, America was born on guns and whiskey.
Right, but
it's true.
All right, there's his second point. I got to concede that. America was born on guns and whiskey. He forgot the slavery part and the oppression part. And, he forgot all. Yeah, but guns and whiskey. And, you know, since when are guns and whiskey not just a lovely, lovely mix? Is that supposed to be profound? America was born on guns and whiskey?
We're a violent society.
Right. So
but statistically,
that has the most
knives kill three
most
times more. Have you seen the FBI numbers? Knives, bats, rocks, kill.
Bats, the ones, you know, in your head.
Kill many times more.
Alex, let's talk.
Anybody want to do some quick horn homework? Really, in the United States last year, were more knives used to kill people than the 11,000 people who were killed with firearms? Because that's a straight-up statement he just made. Knives, there are more... well, you heard it. And that's one of those that's fairly easily discernible. Did he just make a mistake? Did he misspeak? Was he taken out of context? No. He said there are more knife deaths in the United States. Maybe he's including swordplay. I don't know. Than gun deaths.
It's not the rock. It's not the knife. When a mother chops her kids up with a cleaver because she's on serotonin...
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Why don't you want to get rid of the drugs? Because they're half your sponsors?
Stick to the subject.
America's number one cause of unnatural death now is suicide. Not automobile accident, not cancer, not...
You accuse me of attacking the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
I want to get people off pills that the insert says will make you commit suicide and kill people.
Alex, let's get them up to the Second Amendment.
I want to blame the real culprit.
Alex.
Suicide pills.
Alex.
There is a point to be made here. Who came out and said that the problem was mental illness? Why, oh my God, the National Rifle Association did. Who has tried to create a jihad in this country against the mentally ill when, in fact, the numbers, you know, those statistics that Mr. Jones is apparently so fond of? Indicate that the mentally ill are no more violent than the general culture, the general population. You know, for years and years and years, Flush Flembaugh was propped up by right-wing think tanks and lobbying organizations that quietly provided money to him. Alex Jones is too much of a huckster, too much of a grifter, and too much of a hustler to be carrying water for the NRA for the fun of it.
That may sound a little paranoid on my part, and I recognize that. But wouldn't you love to know? But Alex Jones is not going to disclose that, in fact, he's carrying water, because
he's a patriot. Yeah, because I had family at the core of the Texas Revolution on both sides.
I'll be glad when this is over so I can stop doing the Alex Jones voice. I can't. I won't do that to you. I was going to say, one of these nights I'm going to do 3 solid hours in the Alex Jones voice, but I would run screaming into the night. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough, Michael. He said, there's really no need to keep cutting Alex any slack and giving him any undue points. Being right for the wrong reasons is, in my book, still wrong. And being right but drawing the wrong conclusions is also still wrong. In short, fuck this lunatic.
That's murder pills!
Okay, let me ask you one question. Your belief, unless I'm wrong...
First time anybody's ever heard this, by the way.
Your belief, unless I'm wrong, is that under the Second Amendment, your real concern is that you will be overrun by a tyrannical regime, either from somewhere else...
Yeah, highway checkpoints. Look at Mexico. Total gun ban for the citizens. Highest crime rate in the world. 57,000 people dead the last 5 years. Total gun ban for the citizens.
But you'll make...
Switzerland has the lowest crime rate
Alex,
in Europe.
Alex,
your country
Alex,
has the highest.
Alex, we have 35 gun murders a year of 11,000.
People
Alex,
get their brains... It's the higher crime
Alex,
rate.
Let me ask
Violent
you,
crime is higher.
On this specific...
It's brains.
Alex,
it's people.
I'm trying to get inside your brains.
Pierce,
it's
if
not
you punch me...
Very
don't, Pierce. Don't. Don't try to get inside his brains. Like spider webs and, you know, snaky things and icky, oozy... Don't go there. You'll be a week taking psychic showers trying to get over it.
Now, it'd be not your fist,
Alex,
but your brain that did
Alex, let me get inside your brain.
Okay.
Okay? I'm serious. You have a very, very big platform. You air, I think, on 63 networks.
No, that Wikipedia is like 10 years old. I'm on over 100.
Okay, this is funny. All of a sudden, he gets all reasonable the minute that Piers gets a number wrong. And it's kind of funny because Cenk Uygur over at the Young Turks has taken him down a peg or two for this in the past. You know, these gas bags, they cannot help inflating their own numbers. Listen to him. He's absolutely nuts, okay? He's a screeching, meany lunatic. And then Pierce says something about his numbers and the stations that he's on. And he just, oh, no, I'm sorry. Gets real for a sec.
In the world, 57,000 people dead the last 5 years. Total gun ban for the citizens.
But you'll make...
Switzerland has the lowest crime rate
Alex,
in Europe.
Alex,
your country
Alex,
has the highest.
Alex, we have 35 gun murders a year of 11,000.
People
Alex,
get their brains... It's the higher crime
Alex,
rate.
Let me ask
Violent
you,
crime is higher.
On this
yeah,
specific,
it's brains.
Alex,
it's people.
Brains, brains.
Inside your brains.
Pierce,
it's
if
not
you punch me right
big.
Now, it'd be not your fist,
Alex,
but your brain that
Alex, let me get inside your brain.
Okay.
Okay? I'm serious. You have a very, very big platform. You air, I think, on 63 networks.
No, that Wikipedia is like 10 years old. I'm on over 140 stations, XM.
Millions of Americans hear you.
Over a million and a half
day.
Visitors, Infowars.com.
And
day.
I congratulate you on your...
Yeah, get that website plug in, Alex. Because he gets real serious when it's time to talk marketing and the general tenets of his hustle.
Statistics posted right
okay,
now.
Okay.
Infowars.com.
Who do you
That's
have?
Two. One more and the Bloomberg crackheads come through the door.
Leave was behind 9/11.
Oh, I am.
Okay, see, this is the part. So we're going to leave guns all together. And, well, this is the give them enough rope portion of the interview. It's mercifully toward the end.
Americans hear you
over a million and a half visitors Infowars.com
right.
today. Where we have the statistics
audience.
Posted right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Infowars.com.
Who do you believe was behind 9/11?
Oh, I absolutely know. I have the police on CNN saying, get back, they're going to blow up 7. I have BBC reporting.
No, who do you believe was behind
I have the proof. I heard them on CBS
who?
Radio.
Who, Alex?
They blew up the tower.
I heard them on CBS Radio through my fillings.
On CBS Radio. New Yorkers all saw it and heard it.
Alex, who do you
they
believe?
They blew up Building 7.
Alex, who do you believe was behind it? The American government?
Criminal elements of the military-industrial complex, the same ones that staged Gulf of Tonkin, mm-hmm. the same ones that staged Operation,
right.
the mass shootings of Operation
right.
Gladio.
Right.
Ooh,
do you,
the CIA
do you
don't
mean,
like this
Alex,
right
Alex,
now.
Do you
they
mean,
just told him through his fillings that they don't like it.
President Bush and his administration were behind 9/11.
I mean that even mainstream news reported that the hijackers were ordered to be allowed into the United States. Michael Springman, the head of the Visa Department, blew the whistle on that.
So the
and again, he get when and it works this way when you're dealing with people who are severely mentally ill. If you tap them, if you get one of those special places that they really love to live in, they'll drop everything. You notice that? Suddenly, Alex Jones has no interest in the Second Amendment whatsoever. And he's off down the 9/11 rabbit hole. Now, this is not to say that I think the official story of 9/11 is completely above board and according to Hoyle. If it was above board and according to Hoyle, George Bush would have A, been under oath, and B, been able to testify without sitting on Dick Cheney's lap with Dick's hand up his fundament, making his mouth work. This is about... This is about... mental illness and deflection and transference. And the way that somebody who really is around the bend can't resist, well, he just got the carrot dangled in front of his nose, and all of a sudden he goes running off wherever the carrot points.
This administration was part of a conspiracy.
Well,
to
he
murder,
said never let us tolerate
to murder Americans.
I can speak in this accent as well.
Yeah.
The
but is that
government
what you believe?
Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag, Pierce, to bring in martial law in Germany, April 27th, 1933. Governments have staged terror attacks throughout history or allowed terrorists to attack as a pretext to invade and enslave the populations. I probably own more than 50 firearms. Many of them have increased in value 2, 3, or even 4 times. I sleep very comfortably outside Austin, okay. Texas, knowing Alex. That I can defend my family.
Okay, Alex Jones. This is
Infowars.com.
This is the man who wants to deport me from the country for wanting to get rid of assault
rifles. It's to point out you're a foreigner, a red coat, here telling us what to do.
Yeah, the name of the
guns if you don't like it.
Yeah, thanks. I think thanks to Mediaite for gathering that little bit of lunacy. I didn't mean for this to turn into a 1 hour and 51 minute filibobster. I apologize. But sometimes it is necessary to bring out the full blossoming flower of right-wing poison. I'm sure other shows have played a little clip here and a little clip there. But it's kind of like walking into the courtroom and then walking out again and just catching a couple of sentences. That's full-on nuts. And if you just get a clip here or there, you get whatever the other whatever the people want, you know, who've clipped it, you get their editorial choice. The only editorial choices I was making along the way was to simply stop it and point things out along the way. Please believe me. Check it out for yourself. It's as nutty just to play it and let it roll. And this guy influences the attitudes about government. You know, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, that is right on the brink of perishing from the earth, because in part of people like this guy. Sometimes we need to just take a hard look inside the right wing and deal with its reality. Michael just commented and said, the fake accent at the end, Jesus. Now I see your grown-up version of Beavis and Butthead angle. A fucking immature.
Wow.
So we're going to take a little break and come back to your calls. Light them up. We got more Titanic. This may be the most Titanic of all Titanic Tuesdays, but there's more Titanic stuff if we want or need to go into it. However, equally as important in this entire process is the conversation part of conversation radio. The lines are open, 304-658-3333. And you can get in via Skype at Bob Kincaid Horn. News Ninja Gene with a question. Do you want to be Canadian too, Bob? No one would blame you after Alex Jones. I don't think anybody would blame any of us. And by the way, and Michael noting, as far as the fake accent was concerned, Piers should have done the rest of the show impersonating Alex's voice. That would have been lovely.
Well, okay, Alex.
Michael suggested a bumper, and I'll go ahead and give it away because I've no insult, but I've made a different choice. Same band, different choice. Michael voted for Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads. I think we're going to go in a different direction. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. Listener supported. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Wiggle in your stride.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I feel better. I hope you do, too. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. That was just way too much. A couple of emails coming in. Fritz in Arkansas. And thank you kindly, Fritz. Best filibobster ever. I'm laughing my ass off hearing you break down Alex Jones's rant on CNN. I watched this clip last night before the BCS beatdown ended. But it's pure gold. Those water filters Alex hawks on his radio show sure ain't filtering out the mercury going in to this modern-day Mad Hatter. Nicely done, Fritz. With regard to the bumper choice, Michael says, you win, sir. You're the professional after all. P.S. There's also Mr. Jones by Counting Crows. I think that one would also be lyrically appropriate to a degree. I think we may have to haul out clips of both for use whenever this goober makes it into the news, and he seems to have ramped it up a bit. They're either going to get him with the blowgun or, I don't know, he'll be anally probed at some TSA checkpoint, probably by aliens. And, of course, understanding, I'm not talking about space aliens. I mean anybody who isn't Alex Jones. A note in from Philip. And we're going right to the phones after this, so please stand by. So many subjects, so little time, says Philip. We disillusioned democratic socialists sometimes doubt ourselves because we constitute such a minuscule minority in this country and, but for Bernie Sanders, have no representative voice in our representative bodies. Moreover, we are described as anti-American and non-patriotic as if we have no right to our political opinions and beliefs in an allegedly free society. Post-default election, I have been wondering if we will ever have a voice and whether the community that we discuss on the horn is illusory. I usually try to talk myself out of the perception and tell myself not to be so cynical in an age in which cynicism and distrust are so widespread. But it can be a struggle. Then I listened to the New Year's Eve show on podcast. But for that bogus virus warning that you addressed the other night, I would have listened live, although I did listen while I was alive. And that's not a distinction without a difference, I might add. To listen to the camaraderie, conviviality, wit, insights, and simple joy of being together via Skype of people from all over the world who comprise the Horn community was heartwarming and revitalizing. Afterwards, I upbraided myself briefly for my cynicism, but then I thought of what good fortune we have that the malcontent anti-corporate hillbilly who dotes on his kids takes the time out of his life to bring us all together and provide a forum in which we can write or talk at sufficient length to actually surpass sound bites and engage in meaningful conversation. Don't give me all the credit, Philip. This is the beginning of the fourth year of the Horn Malloy Skype group, and a lot of the credit belongs to our good friend Sparky, who is a moderator in the chat room and has been the moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group for those 4 years. Philip continues, the bad news is that I have not heard from my disability and am living without income on my wife's McDonald's wages and my daughter's earnings. The news is bad because I can't contribute at this time. You need not explain that, Philip. It's okay. You know, it's all right. Our concern is far more with you than with us. I've told myself, continues Philip, that when I'm flush, as opposed to the toilet, which works intermittently, without benefit of a plunger in our rented hovel, I will donate generously. Ironically, during the allegedly miserable days of Jimmy Carter, I used to donate generously to public and college radio stations. In the meantime, let me just say thanks to all the horn callers who made New Year's so much fun, even if a day late, because of the insidious attack on the website. As an aside, isn't there a funeral home somewhere that can employ Brent Musburger as a leering mortician? Shouldn't he be sitting on a park bench feeding pigeons if they'll approach him and talking to himself about his glory days long past? I would not allow he nor Marv Albert near my daughters, not because I'm a valiant sexist who
wants to protect my women folk, but because we all need to protect our families from toxic substances, and I'm the one who watches sports most often in the household. If my disability is not approved, Bob, I may apply to Notre Dame as football player, student, and donate my invisible and illegal signing bonus to the Horn. I'm a big boy, and although I can't run, my sheer body mass will block more effectively than Notre Dame's defense last night. I do have one issue to address concerning last night's show. The struggle in Northern Ireland is not about religion. It is about the original inhabitants and their indigenous culture versus those whom the English settled as unwanted Scotch Presbyterians on confiscated lands. True that. It is most similar to the situation in Israel. The issue of the Union Jack is akin to the issue with the Confederate battle flag for African Americans or the Nazi flag for any reasonable person. Of course, the flag is merely cloth, but the use of it to represent an oppressive political ideology is not unimportant, and I may have made it sound that way, I admit. The IRA was moribund until British troops fired on unarmed civil rights protesters in Northern Ireland in 1969. Those protesters observed and emulated the protests of African Americans for civil or, in actuality, human rights in this country. There is no equivalency between the Loyalists and the Catholics, who have been a disenfranchised minority since William of Orange defeated the last of the chieftains. So it goes, a terrible beauty has been born and grown to adulthood, but I entreat you not to dismiss the reaction of the minority to the Union Jack as unimportant. The Northern Irish poet Seamus Heaney remarked on what a separate world Northern Ireland was from the rest of Ireland. He learned nothing of the history of the island or his people in school because he is, as was my great-grandfather 150 years later, a British subject. Heaney read Irish writers from the Republic only when he went to university in England. Ironies abound. Here's an anecdote for you that may explain better. When I lived in Dallas, my neighbor was English. We would often talk, and he once told me that he had been in the British Army during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. He told me it was a difficult tour, but neither he nor his fellow soldiers bore any ill will towards the Catholic minority, and he never heard any prejudice against the Irish while growing up in England. Later in the conversation, we were talking about a subject that I should have known more about, but didn't. As we would say in Boston, in self-deprecation, I uttered, "I should have known that. Aren't I the dumb Mick?" Not thinking, my neighbor remarked, "I haven't heard that phrase since I was home in England." I should have let it go, but couldn't. I responded, "I thought there was no prejudice against the Irish in England." He meekly smiled, and I withdrew my spear and allowed the wound to rapidly heal so we could continue to amicably talk. So it goes, the point was made. Sorry to prattle so much. This is not prattling, Philip, but I'm third generation. My grandfather taught me a different history of us than what we learned in school. England was not a dear and trusted ally in his home. His father's papers identified him as subject of England, making all too clear his status as a colonial subject. I speak some Irish and have met English tourists and have thought that I have a hint of an Irish brogue despite my living only in this country and never having traveled to Ireland. The struggle in the North, the birth of the Republic, and the brutal civil war in which Irish killed more Irish than the English did during the War for Independence are as vivid to me as the stories you learned as a youth about the Civil War and Appalachian people. I know how I would feel if the Union Jack were flown in my neighborhood were I living in the Northern Irish colony. I would feel the same way I felt when folks deliberately wore orange on St. Patrick's Day, a secular holiday of ethnic pride in this country. Call me irrational, but I would be angered that I was shown disrespect in a way I would never impose on others. I know some would say we must get beyond history, but I would quote an erudite hillbilly who refers to Roman history for insight and assert that we must learn from history. Sadly, in Northern Ireland, all too little learning is taking place, and it remains one manufactured country to appease the British settler minority, comprised of two very separate peoples. Of course, being allowed to settle on the plantations of Northern Ireland was no picnic for the Scots-Irish. Many left in a hostile environment and emigrated to this country and settled in West Vigod, Virginia, and other southern states. They have made invaluable contributions to this country, and what Philip says is true. That's where the word Scots-Irish comes from. It's really not that Irish. It's Scots. You know, there's an old saying that says the Scottish landed in Ireland and prayed to God and then fell on the ground and prayed to God and then fell on the locals and prayed on them. Hell, Bob, we were so Irish in Boston that when, as a young teenager, I first read bank advertisements in the Globe for IRAs during the late 1970s, I thought how brazen that an illegal military organization is advertising in the newspapers. For once, that is not some poor attempt at humor. It is the truth. In my working-class neighborhood, no one invested in individual retirement accounts, but we all knew about the IRA and the organizations in our neighborhoods that illegally helped it. My people raised me to deplore violence, and my father loved England when he served in it during the post-World War II Reconstruction. But I would be lying if I said that I did not understand the passion behind wanting a united Ireland.
but I suppose that will come long after I am gone and only after the last vestiges of oppressive influence by the Catholic Church are abolished in the Republic. Lastly, I listened to Kevin's call last night and I thought it poignant. Many of my friends have echoed the same sentiments. I voted for Obama twice but had no illusions and tried to warn my friends in 2007 and 2008. I researched his voting record in the Senate. He was never a friend of labor or working people, despite his rhetoric. He has always been, at best, a moderate Republican, as was pointed out by Adolf Reed in 2007. We need to be clear about whom we voted for and what we can realistically expect. We are not corporations or members of the Ivy League financial intelligentsia, and so we will receive only lip service from Obama and his ilk. After all, he is not considering Robert Reich or Paul Krugman to replace Geithner, a man who oversaw my agency, which shall remain anonymous, so he could oversee legal and collection actions against people who were as negligent as he was in attending to his taxes. We shouldn't forget that Robert Gibbs and others attacked us progressives rather than reactionary obstructionists during the first administration. Gibbs, Rahm Emanuel, and Obama are happy for our votes, but not our opinions or our interests. As a labor relations specialist and ex-union steward, I've been involved in many negotiations. It is one thing to talk about common interests and goals at the table. It is quite another to say here's our list of pre-negotiation concessions. We hope you will play nice, too. I think, perhaps incorrectly, that we need to realize that Obama's interests and ideological beliefs are corporate and much closer to Republican views than to ours, and will always be so. That is the great irony of his administration. He is hated by the very people with whom he more clearly identifies. There is even greater irony and horror in the realization that Clinton, rather than a Republican, signed the welfare reform, I mean destruction, law, and Obama will gladly sign off on dismantling the safety net because he is obsessed with the chimera of the deficit and appeasing the alarmist and overheated fears of the international financial community. Raise taxes fairly, get people back to work, and the deficit will again decline. Implicit in Obama's concessions is the message that there won't ever be enough new jobs to increase revenue significantly, and his administration is silent on the trade deficit, which is the real symptom of the financial decline of the empire. In November, we had a choice between slowly having pieces of our body chopped off or being stabbed in the heart in the last election, and we chose the slow death. I have decided that I won't be fooled again. From now on, I will be voting for the candidate who best represents my views. A novel concept, but I'll give it a whirl. At any rate, Philip says, concluding, the New Year's show was wonderful, articulate and witty conversation among concerned people from so many places. It truly gives one hope. And he says it to you as well as to me. Be well. Signed, Philip. Wow. So, let's go to the phones. 304-658-3333 if you want to jump in. One of these days when we're flush, we'll get the toll-free number out of hock. Hey, welcome to the program.
This is Edward in Dallas.
Hey, Edward, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I saw on Chris Matthews' show today, Dick Armey. Poor man. He needs to be assigned to a padded room.
Purple crayons. We're going to run out of purple crayons in a real hurry. Edward.
I'm telling you, I felt so sorry for him. No wonder the teabaggers paid him off to get rid of him. I was just so sorry for him. And just one other thing I want to say about the 14th Amendment. I've got my handy dandy little Constitution right in front of me. Section 4 says, the validity of the public debt shall not be questioned, period.
That's a pretty plain statement, isn't it?
I think so. It is to me. So, what can I say? Why are these people acting like absolute fools? Because maybe they are fools.
There is that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll let you go and listen to other people. Enjoyed Philip, one of my dearest friends, now deceased, in Kansas. She had an undergraduate and graduate degree from KU, and the first time she voted in the 1930s, she voted for the socialist candidate. maybe there's still hope.
There might be. There might be.
Take care.
Take care, Edward. Bye now. And we move along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ed from Columbus.
Hey, Ed, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I thought I'd try to give you a call and see how it worked out.
You're still with us.
Oh, great. I was listening to Alex Jones, and the first thought that came to my mind was how many sane people actually hung up or just turned off or changed the channel after that rant, at least for the first 2-3 minutes.
You mean here?
No. I mean when they were actually watching it on the show. Morgan?
All I can say is it has been painful to go through twice now. Once was enough, and were I not prepping last night for tonight, I wouldn't have stuck around.
It was just terrible. Every time I hear Alex Jones, it reminds me of I grew up in Pittsburgh, and around the steel workers and the way that they would raise their voices. And there was one reason why they raised their voices, because of the furnaces blasting all the time, and their hearing was going lower and lower, and it was deteriorating a long time. And the shrill of his voice just took me back, but the stupidity brought me back to reality, because it's just a dual reality of this guy. It sounds like it sounds like some sort of dog whistle for his, the ignorant. I don't know how to put it.
No, I think you just did. That works quite well, frankly.
Okay. It reminds me of my dad, but my dad was actually friends with Joey Gatiss, which was our representative in Western Pennsylvania, and I learned a lot from this man when I was growing up. He used to come to our house and sit and have a couple of shots with my dad, and they talk. And my dad was a union steward, and the insight, and he told us about the changes that were happening, and he was not going to be running for Congress because he saw, the movement of the the Christian right. So, he basically left out. He bowed out, but, it's just, this guy was very intelligent, when he came to our house, and he had talked politics with my dad, and when I hear a man like Alex Jones speaking in almost like the dialect of a steel worker, but stupidity is rolling out of his lips, it's just maddening.
Well, it is, but I don't know how many people have ever listened to him. I've had the misfortune of being out on the road late at night. I think that's the beginning of a Little Feat song, too, as a matter of fact. Seen my pretty Alice in every headlight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different thing to be listening to that madness at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're struggling to stay awake.
Right.
It's another thing to be completely alert and realize... What do we call this, Ed, except the dark, seamy, sleazy, seedy side of the First Amendment? But it's not even a First Amendment issue, is it? Because
no.
I would never dare to infringe upon Alex Jones's right to get a, I don't know, maybe you could borrow one of those old peach crates from the folks down at Taco Sid in South Carolina, set it on the street corner, stand up on it, and holler at the top. Well, to the extent that he can holler at the top of his lungs, about all of his paranoid fantasies.
Exactly.
But the thing that we forget is that the First Amendment does not guarantee Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Hannity, or anyone else a corporate subsidy. And so you know, things like Stop Rush that was so effective that that right-wing think tanks again began to have to make up the slack in his $50 million a year salary. Well, it was derided as being somehow un-American. But it's the essence of American. I mean, what is it that they don't like? They only like the free, the right-wingers, they only like the free market when it's working to their advantage. Is that what we're to understand, Ed?
What we're to understand is that if it's profitable in the public sector, put all the externalities on the, I mean, if it's profitable to only a few, put all the other risks and externalities on the public. And
right.
That's what we've seen. We're seeing a cycle of that since the SNL crisis way back in 87.
Yeah. Yeah, the losses are socialized and the profits are what, corporatized?
Corporatized, and again, and no one's actually caught on, I guess, or they'll make it legal. You know, it's just terrible, and I cannot, for the life of me, see why we haven't woken up. It's like, have you ever read? What is it? The Wizard of Oz. It's like America has entered that poppy field and has fallen asleep.
Yeah, or maybe if the poppies were oozing acid or something.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And everybody, because we're not necessarily asleep, Ed. There's a big chunk of this country that is actively hallucinating.
Yeah.
They hallucinate a wide variety of things. They hallucinate, like Alex Jones, a republic. Horse feathers. This is no republic. This is empire.
Exactly.
And the first step in any sort of a solution is recognizing that it's empire. One of the hallucinations our side engages in quite frequently is democracy. Again, horse feathers.
We're not a democracy.
We are not a democracy and never have been one. Democracies are not founded on the conceptualizations that a certain part of the population are four-fifths of a human being.
Exactly. Our country was actually founded, I mean, this is my opinion, that every single person that signed the Declaration of Independence owed Britain a lot of cash. I read that in that 1775 from Ken Phillips.
Yeah.
There was a huge amount of debt Washington, Jefferson owed the British because they were actually digging their claws in the mercantile system, and they were draining the cash out of the middle class that they grew through benign neglect. And these people that got, basically became, war millionaires. So Britain was actually drawing the money out, and, all of our founding fathers were heavy debtors to the British. Did you read the book?
No, I'm familiar with some of the contents of it. There's a lot of stuff that people don't know about the origins of the United States as a nation. People don't know, for instance, that John Hancock was a smuggler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You ask people what the 13 original colonies were, and they would say Massachusetts, and instead of Massachusetts, they would name all the other ones correctly, but I gotta let my hound dog out. sorry about that.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Huh?
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yeah, I have a Weimaraner. She's an old hound dog, and she howls when she has to go. It's kind of funny. But if you would ask them, it wasn't really Massachusetts. It was Plymouth. It was one of the original 13 colonies.
That's true.
So, we're not teaching the history or the true history of the United States. So it's awful. I just hear and try to correct the some of the younger kids in the high schoolers, and they just look at me with this blank look. What to do? You know, what can you do? You give them a book, they don't want to read it. I even bought my kids audio books, and one did, and she liked it.
I understand that struggle. I've had it. But what's fascinating is when you do get them to read.
Yes.
If you get one into their hands that matters, everything else gets easy.
Yes, that happened to my one daughter when she read Machiavelli's The Prince.
Yeah.
And we discussed it, and then I had her read a whole series of books, and now she's finishing up pre-law at OSU, and she's studying for her LSATs right now. She's in her final quarter or semester.
Oh, now it's not too late for her to find an honest living.
I know. But she wrote a letter to Chief Justice Stratton up here in Columbus, and they actually had a meeting.
Nice.
And that changed her life. And she's been working towards one goal ever since. She's a determined little lady.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've done a good job, Ed. No two ways about it.
Oh,
by the way, I got a little correction in. I said four-fifths. Randy in Pennsylvania reminds me it's three-fifths.
Yes. I didn't want to. It's your show. I didn't want to correct.
Oh no! Catch me if I stumble like that. I prefer to be caught on the way to the ground as opposed to face planted.
So yes, but getting back to the debt was actually in the memories of the founding fathers about dealing with payment, and there was a group of people that was old enough for the turn of the century to know that, a debt could actually strangle a country. I mean, throttle it, financially. And that's why in the 14th Amendment, they said that, our debt wasn't going to be questioned. So that's why I was trying to work that into your caller before.
Well, and well done. Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, that's about all I have to say. I really appreciate the chat room, too. They're all a bunch of good people, and I still owe Lottie a Kassinger sandwich up here in Columbus when he makes it through.
That sounds yummy.
I never forget friends.
Absolutely not. Well, Ed, thanks a bunch. Good to hear from you, and I hope it won't be your last call.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from Columbus, our buddy Ed. Who you will find in the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, it's Andy.
Hey, Andy, what's up?
Hey, not much. I was listening to Phillip's piece, and went along with something I heard Kevin from Colorado Springs talking about on the 24th.
Okay.
I think it was. He had been involved with the Colorado Democratic Party and expected a call back from them to work on some committees, but never got the call back.
Right.
I just want people to know, and particularly Kevin, in order to take control of the party, you can't expect a callback because they don't want you. They don't want new ideas. They do not want you mucking things up. They want to control everything. And that's the way, unfortunately, the Democratic Party works. Like Philip was saying, the Rahm Emanuels, the corporatists, they don't want DFA people, Howard Dean types in there. We screw things up for them. We screw up the neoliberal anti-worker free trade agenda. Right? And they don't want that. And here's
right, which goes back to the statement that Philip made about neither Robert Reich nor Paul Krugman being nominated for Secretary of the Treasury.
Right.
When either one would be eminently qualified.
Right. I'm pretty clued in to what goes on in the Democratic Party at the low level.
Mm-hmm.
State, at least I try to be, right?
Right.
This weekend, on the 12th, we're going to have votes for delegates. Any Democrat can go to a certain location and vote for a state party delegate. The state party delegate gets to go to the state convention, and the state convention is where they set the platform for the state. And
yeah, yeah, I mean, I've seen that process at work here.
Right. Now, in order to be a delegate, I didn't find out till 6 days before the date where you could actually register. And I'm pretty clued in. I go to all meetings I can of my PDA, DFA group, and I didn't find out till the 8th of December that if you wanted to be a delegate, you had to get signed up pretty quick, you know, and either pay some fee or fill out some applications and stuff. And the 14th was the cutoff, December 14th. So 6 days, if I wanted to be a delegate, I would have had. And I don't really have the time, and you have to get elected and everything. You do have to poll votes.
Yeah.
In order to do it. And in order to poll votes, you're going to have to, you know, do some kind of write-up, and you're going to have to try to get people down to the voting, which is this weekend on Saturday at 2 o'clock, to go to a certain location to do.
And once again, can't we make the general observation, Andy, that that in its own right is patently undemocratic?
Yes. That's how they try to keep people out. They don't give you notice enough. How it works is the assembly people in their districts put together their own slates of people they know are going to be, you know, pro-party, you know, more non-confrontational type people who are going to be their loyal supporters. And the assemblymen or women who are in the assembly district, in this case the assembly, because that's how the voting is done by assembly district, put up their own slate and choose their own people, and they just expect a rubber stamp from the rank and file to put these people on the slate. But we do have some people running from our local DFA group. Two people happen to get on the ballot, and I'm going to go down there, and I'll definitely vote for them, and we'll get some DFA people that will, and they are some pretty aggressive, you know, more working class oriented points of view, the non-party line points of view. But in Marin County, I know they're doing a real good job with the PDA group there. They have their own actual slate put together. But just to let people know, it's very difficult unless you're an insider. They control things, and they don't let you know the processes that take place, and they don't give you time to react. You know, having a six-day window, for me personally, is not very much time with all the things you're going to have to do as well, you know, enduring the...
No, that means you have to take 6 days of your life and devote them to nothing but that process.
Right.
And that's hard for just about anybody who's living on anything but the coupon clipping, and I don't mean the ones in the newspaper, to accomplish.
Right. So it's just a difficult uphill battle to take over the party. It's not an easy thing to do. And the insiders try to do everything they can to thwart your efforts. Anyway, so that's just another thing. You know, you got to take over the party. You can't expect them to call you because they don't want you there, man. They don't want you mucking things up. I think you had a good conversation with Carol from Las Vegas on the 26th.
Okay, yeah.
And you're talking about Fox News and how, you know, we didn't have a Fox in the 70s. You know, it's a relatively new thing that is really, you know, the privatized media that we have with the cable systems and the amount of airtime that they get and the persuasiveness and the misinformation, disinformation, you know, misleading stories they put out and so forth. It's just really... I agree with Carol, it's having a real negative effect. And I just want, and I've sent this quote to you before, but Paul Joseph Goebbels, they understood in Germany that you had to control the airways, you had to control the message. And his quote is, radio is the most influential and important intermediary between a spiritual movement and the nation, between the idea and the people. Again, radio is the most influential and important intermediary between a spiritual movement and the nation, between the idea and the people. You know, the media, the propaganda machine is so, so important to try to get people on your side and to think the way you want them to think. And the Germans knew that during the 30s. Goebbels knew it.
And I mean, is that, I guess, is that an understanding that comes naturally to the authoritarian or fascistic mindset, Andy? Because for the life of me, I can't get why what we refer to as our side can't get that.
Isn't that amazing? And the people we have in office who might be able to do something about it, like Obama and, of course, Bill Clinton with the 1996 Telecommunication Act, just completely exacerbated the system, the situation with a media more consolidation than we've ever had. And you've heard the stories, too, about Murdoch maybe buying up the L.A. Times or buying up the Chicago Tribune. I mean, this is awful. This is just... going to put the nail in the coffin.
So the question.
I should understand this.
The question presents itself then, Andy. What do we do? And I'm not trying to be a smartass about this. What do we do? Because neither you nor I nor anybody else in the Horn family or any other listener to any form of progressive radio, I'm guessing, has the kind of scratch to go out and buy the Chicago Trib, or even. You know, or even a 5,000 watt daytimer AM over in Knucklebone, Mississippi. We don't have that. So what do we do?
Correct. The only thing we can do is try to roll back these laws, like the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and try to get back like the Trust Brothers busters. That Teddy Roosevelt, to break things up, to try to break up these media conglomerates, to stop the consolidation. Only thing we could do is try to push the neoliberals, the Democrats that are there now, and the FCC, to try to get us back to where we were. And the Prometheus networks are a good move in the right direction, these small radio networks, because when you're in a car, you're pretty much hosed with what you can listen to. I know there are new techniques being done where you can now access the internet in your car, and there's new technologies, but unfortunately it's not available to everybody. But gee whiz, we got to try to break up these conglomerates. We got to try to get back to where there is the small time media networks and a diversity of voices out there, like the Horn. I mean, that gig that you had going on New Year's Eve night, that was great. I mean, I didn't get to see it, hear it live, but I did listen to the podcast. God, that was great radio.
It was an absolute blast, and the responses that we've had have been uniformly just glowing.
You had such brain power there. I mean, you had a lot of diverse opinions.
And if you consider that, you know, and it's to the extent, Andy, that, you know, I entertain vices like pride. If you consider the brain power that was involved, as you note, and the fact that all of that brain power, you know, not one neuron of it was coming from the so-called punditocracy. Not one bit of it came from inside the Beltway. Most of the conversations that happen here are distilled through the filter of people's common sense and everyday understandings, which, far from being ordinary, are, I think, extraordinary, and represent a far better opportunity for this country than any of the blithering idiots inside the Jim calls the Forbidden City, who talk about things that they've already convinced themselves of, whether it's George Stephanopoulos or Schieffer or the dancing David Gregory or Candy Crowley or any of those yahoos.
I agree totally. I mean, it was just great too. You had international inputs here with Scott from Sweden. I don't want to leave people out. You had that guy from the Netherlands, and then you had Sandra, and then you had Jimbo, from West Virginia there, and you had that dude from Chicago who's really sharp. I don't want to leave, you know, like you say too, I don't want to leave people out because there are a lot of good heads on that, you know, show, and you had some a new caller call in. I mean, it was just outrageous. It was outrageous talk and good opinions. Okay, even the international perspective, which is so wonderful to get from Scott. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But that's what we need, stuff like that out there, which you said, the talking heads, this Washington baloney bullcrap that is just for the neoliberals and just for the corporatists, just don't cut it. Hey, just another thing, too, that's come up. I brought this up before with Greg Palast has hit on this quite a bit with this Argentina debt deal by Paul Singer.
Yeah.
His group, Elliott Associates. There's also another group, Aurelius Capital. They're trying to squeeze Argentina. This is Judge Garissa, which actually sided with Elliott Associates on this. This is kind of a big deal because it screws up the whole bankruptcy proceedings for sovereign countries and can really hang them to dry by Wall Street, which Paul Singer, this Paulie Singer, is a Wall Street dude, and he's holding out for $1.3 billion, and he's got the courts in New York behind him. And, you know, the United States has been holding up the whole world community in trying to get proper bankruptcy proceedings for sovereigns, for countries like Argentina to hold. And the United States won't sign. The United States is just screwing up the rest of the world for the privatizers, for Wall Street, to hang small countries out to dry. And the reason I bring up this Paul E. Singer, too, on 11/23, I saw another good article in the New York Times. It was about Jeb Bush in 2016, and it's not too early to chat. It was, you know, November 23rd. But the reason I bring that up is Paul E. Singer is mentioned in this article because Jebby Bush, of course, as you might know, and his brother, Neil Baby, are the big education privatizers. I mean, they're pushing hard with Rupert Murdoch, the Koch brothers, and Paul E. Singer of Elliott Associates, and they got Bloomberg and the Gates Foundation, and they're trying to push this whole privatization thing across the nation. Now, they're the people behind that because it's a big moneymaker for the plutocracy to take out of the public sphere education and put it into the private sphere, you know, the same things like Halliburton does with the armed forces. This is what the Bush family wants to do, and Jeb Bush. And it goes, the article goes into how Marco Rubio is just, you know, fawning and so psychophantic to Jeb Bush. That's like his mentor. He does anything Jeb Bush says. Anyway.
Well, it's,
I just wanted to bring that up. This Paul Singer guy is just a blight on the body politic, man. This guy is all over the place just causing problems.
Well, and it's kind of interesting. I saw pointed out, and I mention it with some hesitation because of the time we spent on Alex Jones earlier. But do you remember? You remember many years ago when the Bush family bought up all of that property in what was it, Paraguay near
Paraguay?
Near the Bolivian border.
Yeah.
I read somewhere the other day that apparently all that land sits on the biggest aquifer of pure water in South America.
Gee, I guess that's just coincidence, huh?
Gotta be. But look, you know, whether it's that or whether it's what's his name, T. Boone Pickens buying up water rights. Oil being finite is on the way out, and really, I side with those. I tend to agree with those people, Andy, who say, you know, the next resource wars are going to be over water.
Well, a lot what happens in the Middle East with Israel, they have a real water problem. And one of the reasons they try to expand their borders is to get that fresh water that's coming in from the rivers, from the north.
Exactly.
So you're right. Water is a big deal. And just one other thing real quick. I brought this up before, too. But, again, proving that upping the minimum wage, which should be a big deal in this country, but with it isn't, with Obama in particular, and I totally agree with you, nothing gets done unless we have a majority in the all sections of our legislative and body politic, meaning the Senate and the House, if we don't have a majority, we go nowhere, because there is no more compromise or mediation that goes on. But the Thai economy, again, they upped their minimum wage to $14 back in April, and their third quarter numbers came in. They beat GDP numbers again in the third quarter, 1.2%. They were only looking, well, they beat their number by 1.2% sequentially. They only expected to beat it by 0.9%. I think it was actually 3% was the GDP year over year that the Thai economy had, which was, I think, a little bit below their expectations year over year of 3.1%. But sequentially, they were better. But again, anybody that tells you that upping minimum wage is going to hurt business and take away, no. It's the opposite. By more distributing the wealth, more letting people have money to spend. I know we talk about this all, but again, the Thai economy shows that you up the minimum wage and growth will take off again.
It just makes sense.
Absolutely.
Apparently sense making, Andy, is the first casualty of neoliberal economic policy. I mean, I've waited for years to hear this, and I finally heard someone explain the objection to raising the Social Security cap. That it would, in fact, be too hard on small businesses because it would up their contributions too. And I thought, well, I'll be damned. You know, the matching contributions that an employer has to kick in.
Yeah, 6%.
But that even that didn't wash with me, because how many in excess of $110,000 a year wage slaves are there out there? I mean, we know that by the time you get to between $250,000 and $369,000, adjusted for inflation, that, you know, you've entered the land of 2% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So how could that possibly be such a gross imposition on employers? Most employers are paying people salaries that are already under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So even that argument lacks some degree, or it lacks an entire degree of sensibleness, I guess is the phrase.
Yeah,
small
business doesn't pay people six-figure salaries.
No.
They don't do that. It's mainly small or part-time jobs.
Well, unless by small business you mean, Grumman.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was one of the tricks, and I think you were one of the ones who discussed it on air. That was one of the tricks that these folks engage in, is that when they talk about small business, the small businesses they're talking about are small hedge funds.
Right. Right.
So, you know, worth thinking about. Andy, thank you very much. And let me just say this. I get your emails, and I do read them. I may not always respond, but I read them. And I have to say that I sincerely appreciate the fact that when you're catching up with podcasts, you'll say, "You said on," and date. And that provides me a great degree of help, because, and this is not a criticism of anybody else, but I'll get questions like, "Bob, do you remember that time that you said X about Y?" And I'm thinking, probably. But when it comes in from you and you say, "You know, Bob, on your December 30th show, on December 24th show, when you said," that helps. It really, really helps. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I try to take little notes on when I'm listening, when I have a chance. Usually I'm at the gym listening to the podcast, unfortunately. But when I get home, I grab my time manager and I try to write down the date of the podcast and what I heard that, you know, jarred my mind when I remember it, so I can comment to you. Then when I have some time sometime, you know, usually on the weekends or something, I'll slap it together. You know, that brings up, too, the Magnitsky bill. I sent you one of those.
Yeah.
Where you had talked about that on one of the podcasts, too. Putin just hammered this guy, you know, like what we were saying with Magnitsky. And you know, that bill, this couple, the Kolenchenkos, I think they were.
Yeah.
I remember Alexander and Yulia, I believe their names were. And this Kolenchenko was asking Putin, because he is a journalist, about the adoption stuff, and Putin comes back and said, I disagree with you. Do you enjoy having children in America become victims of abuse and even die when they're in custody? Are you a sadomasochist, man? Are you a sadomasochist? Putin is something else, man. Anyway.
Well, he was paying attention in KGB school. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Thanks a lot. I hope you can get in another call.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Have a good night. All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend Andy calling from Northern California. Let's go to Skype where Fritz is. Hey, you there, Fritz?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, I hope it works with the laptop. I tell you, it's been madness for the last 24 hours, not with just with that nut job from Austin, Texas, but also the ESPN main announcer and his... hijinks.
It was gross, Fritz. I was sitting there just feeling, I don't know, ashamed, embarrassed, dirty, you know, as a guy. It's like, you know, please, no, we're not all like this. Jesus, it was caveman. Her pretty. Yeah, sure do got a pretty mouth. God almighty, Fritz. Well, like Michael said, Musburger sounds like something you'd get E. coli from.
I mean, I didn't even hear it because I'm a cord cutter and don't have cable or satellite and listen to the game on the radio. And I had no idea this was going on until I was on Facebook and Twitter and monitoring it and noticed all the tweets coming by. And there was somebody else that one of my Facebook friends noticed that they were... didn't mention a name, but I knew what she was talking about, and things kind of got, you know, just took off virally like that.
Well, see, I had the one clip from early on, the grossest of the clips, but they came back to it, and you know, there was Musburger. Oh, she sure is pretty. It was so creepy as to make me think of Brent Musburger with a woman in a pit. Okay, you know, it puts the lotion on its skin. You know, that kind of high-pitched, sing-songy, play-by-play thing that he... Ugh. Yeah. You mentioned the craziness of Alex Jones. I don't have time for the clip, but my God, you would get a giggle out of this, Fritz. Michael sent along just a few minutes ago one of his all-time favorite Alex Jones moments. A minute and 15-second clip in which Alex Jones claims that juice boxes make kids gay for population control purposes.
What? Is this a Saturday Night Live clip of somebody doing Alex Jones, or is this actually Alex Jones?
You're going to make me do it, aren't you, Fritz?
No.
Yes.
I could probably look.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. But we're going to do this as a public service, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Stand by. Hopefully it'll come through for you.
Okay. But the reason there's so many gay people now is because it's a chemical warfare operation. I have the government documents where they said they're going to encourage homosexuality with chemicals so that people don't have children. I even catch myself, Bob, drinking out of these estrogen mimickers. In fact, you'll probably say it if it's lined with it inside the plastic packaging. I wonder if this spring water, natural lime flavor I'm drinking. I know full well HEB's putting fluoride in this. Why am I drinking this? I know full well these kettle chips say that they don't have MSG, but they've got the yeast extract thing that says it's MSG. What's wrong with us? Why won't we stop? Why am I so weak? And they know that they have immersed us.
Now he's cutting open the juice box. I wish he'd quit talking to me like that.
TV, here's the inside of this juice box. And if they zoom in any more, see that thin plastic? It's got it. And I'm letting my children drink this. Why? Because after you're done drinking your little juices, you're ready to go out and have a baby. You're ready to put makeup on. You're ready to wear a short skirt. You ready to go, put together a garden of roses or something? You ready to put lipstick on? Look at this.
You didn't believe me. You made me do that. That's not my fault. That's Fritz's.
Dude is definitely doing some major restaurant quality projecting there. That's all I got to say.
In Austin, Texas. I mean, really, come on, Austin. Can't you run him to Lubbock or something?
I'm not sure Lubbock would have anything to do with him. And there's some, I understand there's some loons in Lubbock.
Well, you know, it is true that most of the cities in Texas are now blue, so maybe we just need to take him out in the middle of, in the middle of nowhere and let him do his, oh my God. I hope the hell he's at least paying business taxes in Austin. It's too much.
I don't care what he's doing as long as he stays away from my radio.
Yeah, no kidding. Too much. Too much. You know what I'm going to do after I get off the air here in about 3 minutes, Fritz? I'm going to take a shower. I just feel like I've been bathed in crazy for 3 hours. And I mean no disrespect to people with mental illness. What kind of word do you use to describe something like what we've been through tonight? I mean, it was cleansing for me, and I hope there was a cathartic value for the Horn family. But I want to shower in bleach.
Bob, can I use this as my sign off message?
Absolutely.
Calgon, take me away.
Amen. Amen. Fritz, have a good night. Our buddy Fritz calling from Arkansas via Skype. Thanks, Fritz. Yeah, Calgon, take me away. Ancient Chinese secret, huh? My husband, some hotshot. I had a very dear friend who used to use that as just a catch-all line, kind of like me with the Pismo Beach and all the clams we can eat. But it is time to get out of here. Prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and we may have an embarrassment of riches for that one, too. Of course, as long as there's a bunch of right-wing religion industrialists, I suppose we always will. Thanks. Thanks for the help we got this evening. We will begin tomorrow at $320 to raise for tomorrow evening. Thank you kindly. Ah, thank you, Ed, for the call. See, you got through just fine, didn't you? Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky and Betsy, our moderators in the Horn chat room. Thanks to Sparky for all these years of moderating the Horn Malloy Skype group. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Gene, the new Canadian. Thank you, Gene. There's a follow-up to the Alex Jones lunacy. Maybe we'll save that for sort of a sidebar tomorrow night. Thank you, Gene. Thanks to John Fox. I hope everything's all right down your way. I kept getting scary information about what's going on in Australia with the fires and the heat. I had to redo the maps. Yeah. Brutal. And thanks, of course, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out always to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Hey, Rick Smith is next on the Horn.